Today's sermon title is The King Denied. The gospel text is from Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In last week's sermon, sins were seen as falling into two categories, hot and cold. Hot sins were those of rage, anger, and lust. The cold sins were those of lying, scheming, and betrayal. Judas was then seen as the prime example of betrayal, as he offered up the Lord Jesus for the price of 30 pieces of silver. Another sin of falling into the cold category would be the sin of St. Peter. And he did not just commit the sin once, but three times. And the number three in the scriptures often denotes the idea of completion, of wholeness. Three witnesses of a crime are sufficient for a conviction in the Bible. Peter offers up three witnesses of his refusal to be associated with Jesus of Nazareth. One can easily argue which sin is worse, betrayal or denial. It is clear that Judas's sin of betrayal of Jesus actively places him into the hands of his enemies. The scriptures had foretold this betrayal from Psalm 41, verse 9. Even my close friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Jesus' suffering and death on the cross was directly caused by Judas's betrayal of Jesus. Without a doubt, it is one of the coldest and cruelest crimes ever committed. But what about Peter's denial of Jesus? Consider the situation. Like Judas, Peter was another close friend and follower of Jesus. They had dined together, traveled together, prayed together. Peter even got a few extra moments with Jesus that Judas did not. Jesus' transfiguration and his raising from the dead the daughter of Jairus. Peter was the unofficial spokesman of the 12. He was quite possibly the oldest, and thus considered one of the wisest of the disciples of Jesus. Peter is credited by Matthew as having made the great confession of Jesus' identity when he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." From Matthew 16. Peter's confession of Christ would be the foundation of Jesus' church from there to eternity. But failure was coming for Peter. It would not be swept under the rug. It could not be missed by the rest of the disciples. Jesus even predicted it. There they were, on the Mount of Olives. Jesus had just led his men in the celebration of the Passover, the great high and holy feast of the Jews. He surprised them all with the giving of the Lord's Supper, the first of millions of times it would be celebrated by the followers of Jesus. They had retreated to Olivet for a time of refreshing, to sing a hymn and for prayer. Then, "You will all fall away because of me this night." How devastating. Would they really? Peter could not stand it, saying, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Peter's intentions were very noble, and his spirit was truly willing, but his flesh was severely weak. Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." When Jesus openly stated to Judas that he knew he was going to betray Jesus, Judas had a chance then and there to repent, but he refused. Peter got a similar shot. Rather than humbly accept Jesus' words and recognize his own tendency as a sinner to fail, Peter intensified his bold claim, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." There is no doubt Peter meant what he said. At that moment, without the presence or immediate threat of physical danger, Peter's confidence was at its peak. You've all been in that situation. At one point in your life, you may have been tempted by an older classmate to break the rules, and in front of your friends, you were able to stand strong. But when that moment came, you crumbled and gave in to the pressure. Fast forward to your adult years. You certainly know the temptation to steal, to cheat, to lie can crop up at any time. Before that happens, you are firm in your resolve not to break the commandments and to soil your reputation. As soon as the temptation comes, the pressure mounts, your fears intensify, down goes your mountain of honor and strength. This is most especially painful when it comes to your confession of Jesus. You come to church, you study the Bible, you pray, you do your devotions. You are confident that you can give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. But when that moment comes, and it all becomes real, knees buckle, tongues dry up, and your confession fails. Repent. God knows your sins, and they are ever before you. He knows your reasons for failure. He knows your weaknesses and your fears. You may resist temptations to sin from time to time. You may even give a great confession of your faith here and there. Give thanks to God when those things do occur. But you and I are very much like St. Peter. We have moments that glimmer with hope, but they are far surpassed by our failures to keep God's word and to proclaim Christ. Repent. After Jesus was arrested, he stood trial before Herod and before Pilate. Peter made it as far as an exterior courtyard in following Jesus. While warming himself by the fire, Peter's faith and loyalty was put to the test. Would he suffer everything, even death, rather than fall away from Jesus? No, he would not. Peter failed. Three times he was asked about his association with Jesus. Three times he denied having any ties with Jesus. And the third was the most heart-wrenching of all. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." Peter's denial of Jesus did not lead Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus' life would not have been spared if Peter had admitted to knowing Christ. There was probably no bodily benefit at all that would come to Jesus by having any of his disciples near him while on trial. But that is not the point. Regardless of the benefit or harm to come, the confession of Christ is of utmost importance. This is poignantly seen in John's Gospel, where John records the reinstatement of Peter as one of Jesus' disciples. Three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, three times to remedy the three denials. Each denial of Peter was worse than the first, and each time Jesus asked, "Peter, do you love me?" hurt Peter worse than the first. Each of our sins is a proclamation about Jesus. In each one we say, "I do not know the man." How devastating that is. Christ's three questions to Peter broke his heart, but Christ's forgiveness of Peter fixed it up again. Each of our sins, our rejections of Christ, find that same effect, our own brokenness before Jesus. And his forgiveness, given to us in the gospel, in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, fixes us up once again. Our sins and denials of Jesus will continue, and for each of these, we need to repent. But each of these sins and denials has been forgiven by Jesus, by his blood shed on the cross. And so we stand in his grace, the grace of our ever-forgiving King. Amen.